David Tyler, Director of Gateway Biblical Counseling and Training Center in Fairview Heights, Illinois, and you're listening to Biblical Counseling, Marriage and Family. Today we're continuing our series, When Culture Redefines Sin, by looking at one of the deepest issues shaping our world today, the redefinition of truth itself. Today's episode, Standing Firm When Truth Shifts. We live in a world that no longer asks, what is true, but instead, what is true for me? Truth has become personal, flexible, and negotiable. We now live in a time when conviction is labeled intolerance, and certainty is called arrogance. But God's word hasn't changed. His truth stands firm, absolute, eternal, and unshaken by culture. The Bible presents truth as fixed, rooted in the very character of God. Psalm 119:160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." That's clear and unwavering. But culture says the opposite. My feelings are truth. If it feels right, it must be right. This isn't a new deception. In the Garden of Eden, Satan asked Eve, "Did God really say?" That wasn't just about a piece of fruit. It was about authority. It was the first attempt to redefine truth. And the same question echoes today. The devil still whispers, "You decide what's true for you." When we replace "God said" with "I feel," we set ourselves up for spiritual disaster. Cultural relativism is the new religion of our age. It preaches tolerance, but demands conformity. It insists there are no absolutes, except the absolute rule that you can't claim to have absolute truth. You hear it everywhere. That may be true for you, but not for me. Everyone's truth deserves respect. No one can really know what's right or wrong. But here's the contradiction. To say there is no truth is itself a truth claim, and a false one at that. Paul says in Romans 1:25, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." When truth becomes relative, worship becomes misplaced. We stop worshiping the Creator and start worshiping our own feelings. Once truth becomes subjective, sin loses its meaning. If truth shifts with opinion, then nobody can be wrong, and nobody needs repentance. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't need to convince people that sin is good. He only needs to convince them that sin doesn't exist. We see it every day. Greed becomes ambition. Pride becomes confidence. Lust becomes self-expression. Abortion becomes personal choice. Every redefinition of sin starts with a redefinition of truth. When feelings become our moral compass, we drift far from the authority of Scripture. Jeremiah 17 reminds us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Our emotions can mislead us, but God's word never will. One of the most heartbreaking trends today is how many churches have begun echoing the world's vocabulary. In a well-meaning attempt to sound compassionate, they've traded clarity for comfort. They no longer speak of sin, repentance, or obedience. Instead, they use words like brokenness, mistakes, and spiritual journeys. Those words sound gentle, but they also sound harmless, and sin is not harmless. Paul warned Timothy about this in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. "For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." That time has come. Many pulpits have traded conviction for popularity, choosing acceptance from the world over approval from God. But when the church echoes culture instead of Scripture, it loses its prophetic voice. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." He didn't say, "You shall feel the truth," or "You shall define your own truth." Truth isn't discovered through emotion. It's revealed by God. We don't create truth. We receive it. That means right and wrong aren't decided by culture, comfort, or consensus. They are defined by the character of a holy God. Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." If God's law revives, then man's redefinition destroys. In biblical counseling, truth is non-negotiable. We don't counsel people towards self-acceptance. We counsel them toward repentance and renewal in Jesus Christ. When someone says that's your truth, we gently and firmly point them to the truth, God's unchanging word. Counsel that avoids Scripture may comfort for a moment, but it cannot heal the soul of a person. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates where psychology only probes. It convicts where human wisdom can only console." If we trade the sword of Scripture for the pillow of sentiment, we surrender the very power that transforms people's hearts. Standing for biblical truth will always cost something. You might lose influence. You might lose friends. But compromise will cost far more. Truth is not decided by majority vote. It's determined by the one who spoke it. Isaiah 5:20 warns, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." When culture calls sin love, the believer must call it what God calls it, sin. Not out of anger, but out of love, because only truth can set people free. It's popular today to say love is more important than truth, but that's a false choice. Truth without love becomes harsh, but love without truth becomes hollow. Ephesians 4:15 calls us to speak the truth in love. Real love doesn't affirm sin. It leads sinners to grace. And grace doesn't overlook rebellion. It transforms the heart. When we understand that truth and love walk hand in hand, we can speak boldly, compassionately, in a confused world. So how do we remain faithful in a world of moral confusion? Well, we anchor our convictions in the unchanging Word of God. We study Scripture not to win arguments, but to renew our minds. We pray for discernment so we're not swayed by emotional trends. We live consistently so our lives reflect what we believe. Psalm chapter 1 describes the righteous man as a tree planted by streams of water. He's stable, nourished, and unmoved by cultural winds. That's the picture of a believer rooted in truth. Culture will keep changing. New terms will replace old ones. What once was shameful will be celebrated. But Isaiah 40, verse 8 reminds us, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever." When truth becomes relative, Christians must become absolute. When the world silences conviction, we must speak with compassion and courage. And when culture calls sin love, we must call people back to the cross, where truth and love meet perfectly in Jesus Christ. If you missed the earlier parts of this series, "Are You a Slothophobic?" or "The Normalization of Homosexuality in Modern Culture," you can read or listen to them at davidtylerbooks.com. And remember, when the world redefines truth, you don't have to rewrite God's Word. You simply have to stand on it. And even if you stand alone, you'll be standing on solid ground.